Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue in the sixth chapter of Genesis. We're dealing with Noah. A lot of people think of this as fanciful, but it's probably, from a doctrinal standpoint, and getting past the surface and the way that the translators translated something, this portion of Scripture is extremely important because, of course, God is omniscient, and being omniscient, He knows everything. He's immutable. He doesn't change. And so when we read here about the Scripture saying, "The end of all flesh is before me," this was an attempt by Satan to prevent Christ from being our Savior, because we talked about it last time, but in order for Christ to be our Savior, He has to be a near kinsman. He has to be one of us, but He has to be one of us without sin. And what took place, and we went back into Jude last time and looked at it, but what took place is that some of the fallen angels under the authority of Satan, came to the earth and cohabited with the daughters of men. And the offsprings were giants. And of course, each one of those women thought she was bringing forth the Christ. That was the lie. Yeah. So let's pick up here. First of all, I just want to mention in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we have the genealogy of Cain. And then in the fifth chapter of Genesis, we have the genealogy of Seth. Now, some theologians talk about the genealogy of Seth as being a godly lineage. But there's no such thing as a godly lineage, because there's no just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And over time, Cain to go out and build a city, if you look at his genealogy, there wasn't enough people in his immediate genealogy to create a city. So we have to know that during the 130 years that Adam and Eve were bearing children, we only mentioned three. We mentioned Cain and Abel, and it was close to 130 years that they had lived. They were probably getting ready to start their own families, and that's why they made their offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he offered in accordance with the promise that in the judgment of the serpent, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent bruised his heel. And this is portrayed in the sacrifice or bloody sacrifice of a lamb. Now, the fact that he was a shepherd has nothing to do with what he offered. That just kind of, the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So he gets the idea. Well, Cain brought what he did. He was a farmer. And Abel brought what he did. And he was a shepherd. No. God had promised in the judgment of the serpent that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent would bruise his heel. And then what did God do? He clothed Adam and Eve in the skin of an innocent victim. Well, in order for them to be, remember, they had sewed fig leaves together to cover, tenuous covering at best. So in order to get a proper covering, which represents the righteousness of Christ, God more than likely sacrificed a lamb or sheep, to get the skin to cover their nakedness, see? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So then we go on through and we see the genealogy of Seth in the fifth chapter. And the theologians have spoken of this genealogy as the godly genealogy of Seth. Well, as you look at the different individuals in there, What does the scripture say? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and is not a thousand. So there's no such thing as a godly lineage other than the fact that through this lineage, through Seth, Christ would come into the world. Okay. And then we have a portrayal. So this is a portrayal of, you know, they lived a long time, and then they died, and they lived a long time, and they died. But then we finally come to Enoch, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Now, when we look at the scriptures, the next important, prophetic thing that will take place is that one of these days God's going to blow the trumpet and say, come up hither. And we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It's called the first resurrection. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. So Enoch went into heaven without dying. And those of us that are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord, you know, we'll go into heaven, but we'll die, but we won't go be put in the grave. It'll happen so quickly. We've got to get rid of our blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Our sin nature is in the blood. So at the moment of the resurrection, probably all that's going to be left is a puddle of blood in our clothes. You know, and nobody's going to know what happens to us. And, of course, the devil will explain that away in the Antichrist. All right. So that when we come to this sixth chapter then, and the flood, you know, this is a historical event. In the past, they have found remnants of the ark on Mount Ararat. You know, that's where the scripture says that landed. You know, how much they found, I don't know. But anyway, what if they're at an altitude where trees don't grow above the tree line. Okay? So it says here in the first verse, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, now the sons of God, if you go over to the first chapter of Job, God called the sons of God together to meet, and Lucifer was also there. And the sons of God is a designation for angels, okay? And so they saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So these men came down, or these angels came down, took the form of men, cohabited with the daughters of men, and produced, what's the problem? When God says, the end of all flesh is before me, it's a double reference. Yeah, I'm going to destroy, in 120 years, I'm going to destroy this earth. But I have to preserve a redeemable race, and that will be preserved through Noah and his three sons and their wives. Okay? So, everyone else, though, had been contaminated by this cohabitation with the daughters of men. Now, let's turn over to, let's go Luke chapter, let's see, what is it, chapter 8, and let's look at verse 26. Begin reading there. Let me explain something. These men cohabited. Now, when we die, is that all there is? No, we have a soul and a spirit. You know, of course, the unredeemed man spirit died, so he just has a soul. It has to abide somewhere. Okay? Now we understand that soul is eternal. It's going to spend eternity either in the presence of God, so that when we see the Lord, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is, or it's going to be eternally separated from God and cast into the lake of fire. Okay. So that being the case then, And since God does not create evil, you know, when he created Lucifer, Lucifer was an archangel. He was perfect in his way till he was lifted up in pride over in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. He was lifted up with pride because of his great beauty. And that's when he decided that he could be God. He didn't want to worship God. He wanted to be God. So then when he did that, he convinced one-third of the angels that he could be God. Now, it's out of that one-third of the angels that he, convinced that we can be gods. So they came down and cohabited with the daughters of men. Now, angels are individually created. When you go through Scripture, there's no such thing as a female angel. Sorry, Hollywood, and all these, you know, you always have an angel here, and you've got a beautiful woman, and she's got mystical powers and all that. No, there are no female angels. All angels are in the masculine gender throughout Scripture. So they came down as the sons of God, or which is the designation for angels, and cohabited with the daughters of men. Now, if you have a person that's individually created, he has sex with a woman and produces what? A child. Okay, what happens to when that child dies, what happens to his spirit? And that's where the demons came from. And these people that want to deny that these angels actually cohabited with the daughters of men, they have no explanation of where the demons came from, because God does not create evil. Okay? So demonic activity takes place. Now, we're going to see in this account of the maniac of Gadara, in verse 26 of the 8th chapter of Luke, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, that is, they were in a ship, they came to dock their ship, there met him out of the city a certain man which had, it's translated devils. There is one word for devil in Greek, it's diablos. And there's one word for demon, it's daemon. Yeah, in Greek. This is translated devils. It's the word daemon. So this man had demons, and he had them for a long time, and wore no clothes. He was naked out there, crazy, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And he saw Jesus and cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High?" Now, believe me, the demons and the devil know who Jesus is. You know, the Jews should have known who he was from the Scriptures, but many of the Jewish hierarchy just didn't recognize their own Scriptures that promised his birth. See? And so, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and then fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven. This guy's got supernatural strength. And break those chains, okay? Because of he's demon-possessed. For oftentimes he caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the demons into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," okay, because many demons were entered into him. So, legion, you know, in the Roman army, legion, what was that, 1,000 troops, I think. Something like that. Anyway, they'd entered into him, and besought him that he would not command them to go out Now, this seems to be a contradiction of the account in Matthew. They translated it that he wouldn't go out into the deep. No, they didn't want to be cast into hell, into the abyss. See? And again, the translators, because you have to understand, we had Anglican translators. Some of them, from some of the translations, may have been genuine believers. And many of them were not. You know, in the book of Isaiah, for example, we have that portion of Scripture that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But earlier on in Isaiah, the filthy rags isn't translated. Filthy rags is translated what it is, menstrual cloths. So this was a sensitive individual who was translating that portion of Scripture, and he didn't want to talk about anything so delicate. Now, so you can see that, you know, we, just in the way that we have things translated, they miss the point. And for example, I've shown you many times over in 1 John, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That's exact. Direct contradiction of Titus 3:5, which says, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. Now, in the Greek, there is no contradiction. But in the English translation, that's why it shows the foolishness. And there's a seminary in Florida, Pensacola Seminary, and they have built a whole doctrine around the idea that, that God preserved his word in the King James Bible. Well, can't be, because God can't lie. And I can show you error after error after error in the King James Bible when we compare it with the Greek text. And we have contradictions in the King James Bible, but we don't have any contradictions in the Greek text. Now, where do you suppose God preserved his word? In the Old Testament, in the Masoretic text, which was Hebrew. And then in the New Testament, in Greek, Koine Greek, which was the Greek of the common people. So he goes on to say here, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, in verse 30, because many demons were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Don't cast us into the lake of fire before our time. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And so Jesus said, that's fine. And he cast them out, and they entered into the swine. Okay. Now, the rest of this doesn't make sense by them translating the word for abyss as deep, because what do they do? And then went the demons out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. So, it sounds like, don't let us go, don't put us in the lake. And then they run into the lake. No, don't cast us into the abyss before our time. But so they knew in the days of the flood, how were the demons separated from what would we call it, a humanoid, half man, half angel? How was the spirit that indwelt them separated from them? In the flood? Okay. So, and just like with us, we have we have a soul which is eternal. It's going to spend heaven. It's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. But it's not going to cease to exist because we got that from the breath of God, and God is eternal. And then, of course, with Adam's sin, then he died spiritually, couldn't understand Scripture or anything of this sort, spiritually dead. We preach the truth of the Word of God to people, and the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Yeah. And I can remember years ago, we had a man that attended the church for a while, and he just made a profession of faith because he knew he was dying. And then he said, with respect to coming here, he says, it's like going to school. You know? Well, I'll tell you something. When I was first saved, I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And it's strange that anybody that's really saved would not want to know. You know? So we grow, and it's a lifetime process. You know? I've been studying the Scriptures for over, well, been in the ministry really for over 60 years, probably, 65. Let's see, I have 54, and what is this? As of January, 66 years of labor, and got into the Word of God right away because God, He knew He was going to call me into the ministry. I fought tooth and nail not to do it, but, it's just one of those things. Okay, so there was a herd of many swine on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them in verse 32, and he suffered them. Then went the demons out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. So the spirit that was in those, which had been in the maniac of Gadara, they'd been in him, now they were in the swine. The swine were killed, and the spirit is allowed to go free to enter somebody else. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the demons were departed, sitting in the at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Okay. This man, was a maniac. He was breaking chains. He was falling upon people and injuring them. Yeah. And now he's clothed and in his right mind. And the reaction of the people, they were afraid. How can this be? And they also, which saw it, told them by what means he was possessed of the demons, or the one that was demon-possessed, was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, and they were taken with great fear, and they went up into the ship and returned back again. So, we don't want you in this. It's kind of like, we need Pelosi and Schumer, and of course, that's not, we need somebody that'll lie to us, and that's so sad. And there's nobody in the natural realm that can compare with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's God who became man by means of the virgin birth. He lived his life as a Jew under the law, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and he gave himself as a ransom for sin. And so that's portrayed now in what Noah is told to do. Build an ark. Yeah, a refuge against the judgment that is to come. So God was going to destroy the earth with a flood. And it took Noah 120 years to put that ark together. And the Lord said, let's pick up at verse 3 now, back in the 6th chapter of Genesis. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. It's going to take that long for Noah to put the ark together. Putting the ark together and the people mocking and asking questions and so forth, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What's an ark? Well, it's a refuge. Why do we need a refuge? Because there's going to be a flood upon the earth. What's a flood? It had never rained upon the earth. Yeah. God watered from the beginning, he watered the earth with the dew. So rain was unknown. Flooding was unknown. And so he says the end of all flesh, 120 years. Then he says there were giants in the earth in those days, and these are the offsprings of the cohabitation of fallen angels with daughters of men. And they came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. They touted them very highly. And God saw that their wickedness, or actually this in the Hebrew, man's mind was on the evil. What was the singular evil? Well, there's no law, there's no transgression. We've already seen Cain kill Abel, and God put a mark on him so that no one would, hurt him because he had killed Abel. And then when Lamech killed a man in self-defense, then he put, leave Lamech alone 70 times. In other words, the judgment on those that would come after Lamech was 70 times what it was for Cain. See? So then he goes on and says, God saw that the evil of man, what's the singular evil? That you can be like God by disobeying God and eating of a tree of what? Of morality would be. I wish the translators had translated it that way. What is a knowledge of good and evil? And what is the basis of every religious system in the world? And, it's better to do good than to do evil. I'm not opposed to good behavior. But our behavior at best is always short of the glory of God. So this is what gets people confused. When Joanne was alive and younger, she'd go bowling with people, people that knew me, and what's Dale really like? They want to think that you, they know that you aren't any good, but he's a preacher, so he's supposed to be. No, a preacher cries aloud the truth. Now, we're not supposed to give ourselves over to sin, but if we should say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. So, good behavior is better than bad, but don't get your behavior mixed up in your relationship with God. Because we're not saved by behavior, we're saved by God's grace, which is unmerited favor, through faith in what? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. He paid for our sins with his, sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So, and God saw that the wickedness or the evil of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on the evil, the singular evil. Okay. It's not that could we go to the whorehouse? Could we become this or that or whatever? The way it's translated, you think, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So the only evil that their mind could be fixated on is what they gained from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which the devil's lie said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to be like God. And what do the religions of the world say? The way to God is by being a good person. Yeah. And I watch that show. I enjoy it. But they're a crazy bunch of old hippies. Alaska, the last frontier. And they'll be out doing something. Yeah, Dad's looking down. Grandpa, whatever. No. There's only one way into the presence of God, and everybody thinks all you have to do to go to heaven is die. And, for the believer, that's true. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. But we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What? That he's God, that he became a man, that he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and died in our stead. So the judgment that was ours was borne by him, and the righteousness that is his is charged or imputed to our account. So it goes on to say, now the imagination of the heart was only evil, basically on the evil. So this whole generation of people were wrong thinkers. You know, it's kind of like what you say politically now. So many of these young people have been sold on the idea of socialism. Yeah. Well, let's see. How did socialism work in Cuba? It was so good that the people, you know, got whatever would float, inner tubes. I mean, some of the things that they escaped Cuba on were ridiculous, and came across the Gulf to Florida and escaped Cuba. You know, many of them drowned trying. And then how about Venezuela? Venezuela used to be one of the richest countries in South America. You know, what have we got there now? People eating out of garbage cans. Yeah. And in that respect, during this pandemic, what happened to all the street people? Yeah, they all disappeared. Where'd they go? You know, and now they're back in the streets with brand new tents and all of that in San Francisco. Yeah, and you see them setting them up. You know, and they're going to give them booze, and they're going to give them dope, and they're not going to charge them with anything, and they expect us to pay for it. Yeah. And they're worried about COVID-19. Did you ever hear of the bubonic plague? Rats feeding on filth, biting humans, infecting them. You know, that was a real pandemic. I guess people don't like to read history. Might be a little dry the way that historians write it. But history is, you know, really his story about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason we're here in the first place. Oh, yeah, we have a bunch of other things. But is there anything that happens in the world that isn't within the permissive will of God? Yeah. So, Jesus said, the rain falls on whom? The just and the unjust. So, you know, and then we're going to protect everybody so they won't die. And in New York, we ordered people that were infected with the COVID virus, or whatever you want to call it, send them back into nursing homes where you have the greatest risk. People my age, you know, could be 88 next month, yeah. And, you know, send them along. I'm going to live as long as the Lord wants me to preach, yeah. And when my ministry's done, I'm out of here, yeah. And as long as I'm here, he called me to preach all that many years ago. And for a while, after our first church failed, we got discouraged and quit for a little while, and then got back in the harness, you know, and learned to trust the Lord and not worry about, you know, and when you come out of a Bible college, your whole mind is full of, I've got to build a fake church, you know. But with the things that I preach, which are the word of God, people don't want to hear that. They want to be told how good they are. You know? So if you want a lot of people, you got to make them feel good, let them put their hands in the air, and roll their eyes back in their head. Oh, I'm so holy. You know? And so are my socks. Okay. Okay. So the imagination of man's heart was only on the evil continually. In verse 6 it says, and it repenteth the Lord. That's what you call anthropomorphic language. God can't change his mind. But to give us a sense, you know, we have to look at God through human eyes, and it's as if God changed his mind. You know, but he can. He knew exactly what was going to happen from all eternity. And people, you know, because of the language of Scripture written for humans to ultimately be able to understand, we have to use, you know, speak of God sometimes in terms which humans can understand. And so it says it repenteth the Lord that he had made man. It's as if he changed his mind on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Well, the fact that these people, and he knew it was going to happen before it happened. See? But this, again, is anthropomorphic language, or speaking of God in human terms. And then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's turn over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews for just a minute. Hebrews chapter 11. And it says in verse 7, by faith. Now, God gave the faith to Noah to believe. He gave the faith to Abraham to believe. He gave the faith to Adam to believe. Everyone who has ever believed on the Lord received the gift of faith from God. So, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Well, we'd never seen demon activity on the earth prior to the flood. And we'd never seen a flood upon the earth prior to the flood. And it had never rained upon the earth prior to the flood. So there were a number of things that hadn't been seen yet. You know. And that's why they thought that Noah was a lunatic. You know. But I guess that's what people think of me. You know. You know, and sometimes a little strange, you know, but, you know, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that is reverential awe towards God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, that is his family, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So, what Noah did, at some point in time, each of us has done through the preaching of the Word of God. We took God at His Word and believed it. He quickened it to our hearts, gave us the gift of faith to believe it. And when He did that, He gave us eternal life. So Noah's going to enter into an ark which is going to preserve him from the judgment that was to come. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We basically enter into an ark, which is going to preserve us from the judgment that is to come. In other words, we're safe in Christ. And back then in the sixth chapter of Genesis, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Each one of us who has believed have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When I was in Bible college, they taught that you could save men's souls by just, they had a series of questions. Get them saying yes, get them saying yes, get them saying yes. Do you want to trust Jesus as your Savior? And you get a yes. Okay. That's sales technique. That's not salvation. Yeah. We preach the Word. God does the same. And that's why, you know, the world is always striving to have something to boast about. And the scripture says, if you want to glory, glory in the Lord. He died for us. He gave us eternal life. And I took too much air in there at one time and it tickled my tonsils. Okay. So these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Now, this has nothing to do with Noah's conduct. This has everything to do with being justified before God because he believed God. So I could say of each one of you, you know, there's a just man. There's a just man. Just woman. Just woman. You know, we're justified by God's grace through faith. Why? Because we believe that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. So all of the promises that God gave to the nation of Israel for keeping the law, which they never did, all of those promises for doing it belong to Jesus Christ. And because they belong to Jesus Christ and we belong to Jesus Christ, what's his is ours. You know, we haven't realized it yet, only by believing the Word of God, but the day will come when we will be translated out of this world and, be in a body. You know, if it's at the time of the resurrection, he's going to raise our body, glorify it, and adopt it, carry it into heaven. If it's before that, like Joanne, last year, December 6th, God took her into his presence, you know, and that little bit of bone that we got buried out there by the side of the church, that was just a remnant of what she formerly was. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is far better. It's not something I hope for, it's something I know I have. And what gives me the confidence? My life? No. If it was dependent upon me, I could never have it. But it's dependent upon God's promise, and he gave me the faith to believe his promise. So who's the glory go to? Goes to the Lord. Okay. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his singular way upon the earth. Okay. Who is the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. These people were trying to be like God by copulating with angels. You know? And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and that is man's thoughts and purposes and desires were all wrapped up in the lie of the devil. That's what that means, okay? And so, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That is, these individuals that came down and corrupted the earth so that, we had lost people that had, they died then. And then we had those that were born to them, which produced the demons. But there's just eight people. Noah, his wife, and his three sons. Japheth. We always put Ham in the middle. I guess make a ham sandwich. But Japheth is the elder. Yeah. We've got to get over to the 10th chapter of Genesis. Because we always mention Shem, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. You know, but we generally mention Shem first. Well, Shem was not the oldest. He was the second born. And we've had many studies in the past about the second born representing those of us who are what? Born again. So we'll stop here at verse 14. Pick up there. He tells him to make an ark. And the ark is going to be a refuge. And the ark is the type of Jesus Christ. And if you're not in God's ark, then like the world that then was, you'll perish. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And as we look at these scriptures that have been so blatantly messed up by so-called scholars over the years, we look at them, we see how the demons came to be. You don't create evil, but evil came into the world full grown when the devil desired to be God. Just bless now and each of our hearts and lives. Give us strong in the faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.